You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is a very special episode. First, let me bring in my partner in crime, Patrick McDonald, is here. Patrick, good to see you, bud.
What's going on, Rick? Excited to join you, but I'm more excited to talk to the two fellas we have coming on here soon.
Yeah, we had to. Patrick is very toned down with how excited he was about this. So let me bring the fellas in here. The number 8 ranked men's tennis player in the world, Taylor Fritz. Taylor, good to see you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. And you know him, 5-time winner on the PGA Tour. It's Ricky Fowler. Ricky, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, you got it. Catching me towards the end of the shoot, and then Taylor's taking over and doing his stuff this afternoon. So just having some fun.
Yeah, this is a sick crossover for more than one reason. I love like the individual aspect of what you guys do in this. Like, there's not a ton of individual sports in the world. Usually there's an opportunity to lean on a teammate or maybe even blame a teammate. I don't know, but you guys are definitely doing this individually. So Ricky, I'll start with you. Like, is there something that you guys can learn from one another because you're both kind of in the grind together?
For sure. You know, Tay and I spent some time together, played golf once. We're going to do that some more, but, you know, everyone's different, but finding out how, you know, guys do certain things from workout recovery, even just like the management of their overall team, because it is very individualized, but at the same time, you know, we've got people on, you know, strength and conditioning and recovery, agents, coaches, all kinds of stuff. So it becomes a little bit of a team sport because you have so many people on your team. Yeah, there's a lot more that goes into it than, you know, me just going to play golf or, you know, Taylor going out on court for a match.
Yeah. Right on. So I guess trying to tie both the sports together, I kind of relate golf and tennis, so to speak, to spinning plates, right? You have so many shots and areas of the game where you need to work on, where Taylor, I know your forehand's ridiculous, so is your serve, but you've got to work on other aspects as well. Do you both have a tough time balancing the need to work on your strengths while also working on your weaknesses?
For me, I feel like I probably do always want to work on my strengths, because at the end of the day, that's what is gonna make it happen. That's what I'm gonna kind of want to trust in like a big moment in a match. But when I'm training, I actually just try to do a lot of playing straight up, like match play and practice, so I can really work on everything together and maybe, you know, add some areas of focus to things I can improve on. But it's, you know, I like to just do a lot of just straight up playing and not like individually work on one thing or another.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty similar on my side of things. Like, I've never been someone to just go sit on a driving range and unless I had a reason I was going there. So I'd prefer to go play, hit all the shots, and then, you know, go back and say I was struggling maybe in this area. I want to go work on that one specific thing, and I have a set goal. Outside of that, like Taylor was mentioning, I think you get more out of playing and putting yourself in you know, actual situations.
With respect, Rick, because I'm a couple months older than you, it feels like you've been in golf for a long time. We've known about you for forever. How has the evolution been for you, going from what you're able to accomplish physically, mentally, throughout your 20s, now into your early 30s? Like, is the process any different? Is the mentality any different? Are you trying to keep everything the same?
I would say life has gotten busier and busier over the years, you know, from going from just a single guy playing golf, traveling the world, to, you know, getting married, to having a little one now. There's a lot more to life than just golf. So the time management aspect and just making sure everything's done efficiently, you know, I'm getting the most out of practice and what I need to get done, you know, whether it's in the gym or recovery. Yeah, there's just a lot more moving parts now, but everything's happened in kind of a good time frame. Nothing was necessarily rushed. It wasn't like anything was thrown on us. So this is 14th year on tour. So I've had plenty of time to adjust and get used to things over the years.
14, holy cow. You ever feel old?
Older.
So obviously Netflix came out with documentaries about both of your sports. Taylor, it was a big week for you at Indian Wells. Ricky, just a big year in general on the PGA Tour with LIV Golf and everything, pretty pretentious, unprecedented. How was it when the crews followed you guys around?
You know, I didn't feel like it was too weird or like intrusive. I felt like a lot of the filming we did do was like at tournaments on match days. So I'm so like, I guess like locked in on like taking care of like my stuff to get ready to play that I'm not even really worried about the cameras being around. And I thought that was best. I wanted it to be like as authentic as possible. So most of the time I'm just not even thinking about it. When the cameras kind of maybe like came to the hotel room or like stuff away from the courts, then it maybe felt like, you know, slightly awkward. It wasn't as natural. Cause it's just like, obviously I'm not used to that. But as far as documenting like my, you know, routines and myself at the courts, it, you know, it was no different to how it normally would be.
Yeah. Like Taylor was mentioning, I mean, for our day-to-day life at the course and just what we're going through, normal routines, they're basically just following and fly on the wall. The only times where it's a little different is, you know, maybe they stick a camera in the car with you and they're asking you questions while you're driving, or like going back to the house or locker room, having like a sit down interview and like debrief on the day or whatever it may be. But outside of that is literally just trying them capturing all the content, which is us just being us, and then those sit downs just trying to get the audio to kind of piece all those things together to tell a story.
Stoked for any more documentaries that we can get on sports. I'll just eat them all up. Taylor, I'll admit, brother, I'm not a huge tennis guy. I'm not. I apologize. Maybe I should get into it. But you've got a captivated golf audience right now. Like, what could we say to this golf audience about why tennis is great, why they should be tuning in, and why they should be watching you?
I'd say that as far as like the structure of the sport goes, it's pretty similar to golf. Tournaments pretty much every week. Lots of different characters, and I don't know, once you get into it and you have someone you want to root for or follow, it's really fun to watch. And we're getting to a point in tennis as well where I think it's about to get really exciting, because it's turning into not the same people winning every week, and it's going to get really exciting with like 10 to 15 different people that are kind of all fighting for it.
I think it's also another one that, like, to have a real appreciation, you have to see it live or in person.
It's very true.
Like, TV doesn't do really any sport justice. You know, to see like these guys, you know, how tall, how fast, how hard they hit it, it doesn't translate to TV. So go see it in person.
TV definitely slows it down. Yeah, you can appreciate the intensity of it in person for sure.
So going off that, Taylor, I know Novak just won in Australia, but you're the top American, you're, you know, in or entering the prime of your career. Is there kind of a sense among you and your peers, like, okay, once he hangs it up, once Rafa hangs it up, I know they still got some in the tank, where you know, we could snag a couple majors here. I know Carlos just did at the US Open, but do you feel that among your peers?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's all been on our mind, especially, you know, Federer recently retired, but he, you know, I'd say towards the last year or two, wasn't playing that much. We got a taste of Novak being out with all the COVID stuff. He missed a lot of events, and then Rafa as well. Still playing really well, but more people are able to beat him, I'd say, recently. So, yeah, we all kind of have that thought. You know, Novak's kind of like he's still hanging in there, and he's still as strong as ever. But like I said, it's going to be really exciting times. There's like 15 people that are all fighting for it, and no one's that much better than everyone else. That whoever kind of just brings it on that specific week is going to be winning the major. So that's, you know, that's really exciting for all of us too, kind of having that feeling that like any week could really be the week. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll never say it to his face, but we're in a post Tiger world in golf, and it feels like we're in kind of a post Big Three world in tennis. So it's going to be certainly be exciting. Gents, I know we've chatted a lot about workout, recovery, things that are part of your daily routine. Ricky, I see you've got it in there. I know you guys have been working hard with Caden Wood and Level Select, and tell me how that all fits into the bigger picture here.
I'll start for me. Between the new product, the Level Select OTC, and then the other products that we have as well. But for me, it's a big part of recovery. Primarily use it after good sessions in the gym, long days on course, anything that's, you know, maybe bothering me or just needs a little extra attention. My trainer, therapist, you know, kind of throwing that in. Sometimes I'm not having to be the one that's rubbing it in, but we do have the roll on if you want to do your own. Luckily I have someone that can help with that if needed, but just definitely a nice thing to help take any edges off, just so we can go out and perform.
Yeah, for sure. Like Ricky said, so many different products. So I use a wide range of everything, even down to like the gummies to the recovery and sleep at night. And then we got the, all the creams we can apply. And like you said as well, I've got my physio working all that stuff. So he just has the whole set of everything. And yeah, always in recovery after training, after practice. You know, we both do whatever we possibly can to come back, be feeling the best the next day.
Little more goes into playing tennis than walking the golf course and swinging a club, but
super modest.
We all get sore and tender in areas, so the quicker we can be, you know, back close to, I don't know if we're ever at 100%,
never,
but the closer you can get to that or stay there, the better.
It's just different muscles, Ricky. That's what we tell people. It's just different muscles. Appreciate it, boys. Before we get out of here, one last thing. Who's better, Ricky at tennis or Taylor at golf?
I haven't seen Ricky on the tennis court.
I'm probably going to give the tennis and golf. I think he's probably better right now. I need some more time on the court. I just don't have the speed, and I'm a little bit vertically challenged, so a little tough on the court.
I'm not too good at golf.
He's slouching over here, so we look kind of
A couple of humble SoCal kids. Much appreciated, boys. Ricky Fowler, Taylor Fritz, thank you so much for the time. Best of luck moving forward, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.